En el principio el Espíritu de Dios se movía sobre las aguas. En el principio el Espíritu de Dios se movía sobre las aguas. Mas ahora se está moviendo dentro de mi corazón. Mas ahora se está moviendo dentro de mi corazón. Jerusalén, qué bonita eres, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Jerusalén, qué bonita eres, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Por esas calles yo voy a caminar, calles de oro, mar de cristal. Por esas calles yo voy a caminar, calles de oro, mar de cristal. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Cristo. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Dios. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Cristo. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Dios. Yo canto con gozo, yo alabo a mi Cristo. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Dios. Yo canto con gozo, yo alabo a mi Cristo. No puede estar triste un corazón que alaba a Dios.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Joshua. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. I just really want to say thank you to the church and Brother Sam for this opportunity. I pray the Lord does something for me and for you. I pray that you'd pray. The Lord would anoint you to be able to receive this message to your heart, apply it to your life, and allow the Lord to use His Word to help us grow. And this sermon has been on my heart for several months, and I never have had a chance to just fully study it out and get it prepared. And I told Brother Sam while I was preparing for it, it seemed great, you know. And sometimes you get to a place where you prepare a message and study it out and everything, it sounds great. Then you get up to the pulpit and it just don't go over quite as good. So I pray the Lord will help tonight and allow me to deliver it like the Lord gave it to me on my heart. And if y'all just help me for a few minutes, I don't plan on holding you too long. I don't think I can. I'm a young preacher. I don't preach very long. But if I do, y'all forgive me. I'm going to try my best to get out of the way and let the Lord move in these altars. I believe that the Lord has something here for this altar service. An altar in the Old Testament was a place where something died. So that's why we come to this altar. There's things in our hearts that need to die. There's things that ought not to be there. Something unholy and unclean cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God. And the things that the perversions of this world that contaminate our minds and our hearts must daily be taken to that altar and killed on a daily basis. And I believe that the Lord wants us to do that and grow in grace and in the knowledge of His Word. And I'm so thankful that He has allowed me to realize that every day you got to get this old self back on the altar, back on there, and just go ahead and sacrifice Him. It's only a reasonable service, the Bible says, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. We'll start in verse 12. Just 12 and 13. Yes, please stand for the reading of the word. In Mexico, we say, the Bible says, honoring the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. 14 says, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Just one verse. Many of us in here can quote it. Simply says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Why don't we go ahead and just pray over his word. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Lord, we appreciate your word, and we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to count this such a blessing and an honor that you have given us your holy word, God, that applies to us in this day and age. I pray, God, that it would go forth like a trumpet, that your word would reach to the innermost being of each individual in this building. I pray you bless your servant, God, anoint our ears to hear in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to preach. You can be seated, if I can, for a few minutes on if you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it. And as we read over in the book of Joshua, Joshua is telling Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, they have gotten to the Jordan River, and they have been in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. And they have made their journey through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses has died. Joshua has taken his place. And now he's talking to this 2.5 tribes. And they told Moses before he died, we want the land that's on this side of Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan River, because we like it. We want it for our children. We want it for our cattle. We want it for our families. This is where we want to be. It wasn't their promised inheritance that God gave to Abraham centuries ago, but it was a place that they kind of scouted out and said, we don't want to go on into the land of Canaan, into the land where God has promised us. We want this side. So Moses simply looked at him and said, well, if you want it, you can have it. He wasn't very pleased with it. God wasn't pleased with it. But he said, if you so desire in your heart to will for this side of land, you can have it. And I read a quote one time and I wrote it down. It says, what the heart wants, the will chooses, and the mind justifies it. Whatever is in your heart, you're going to choose it. And you're going to try to justify it with your mind and say, look, this is the reason why I want this. And pretty much anything is accessible in this life. There is nothing that is cut off, pretty much. If you want it badly enough, you can have anything that's in this world. You can justify it with your mind after you've chosen that with your heart. It's an issue of the heart down here. And if you have a pure heart, you will do the right things and you can choose everything that God has for you. But if you've got a corrupted heart and if you've allowed the devil to work his way in there, you will choose the wrong side. You will stay on this side of Canaan, this side of the Jordan River. And as I grow up, I'm sure most of us in here, if you haven't got to this place yet, you will get to it, where you kind of ease your way out from underneath mama's wing, so to speak, and you kind of get out there on your own and you realize the pressures of life and the real spirit of the world is a constant oppression against the church. And if you haven't gotten there, like I said, you might get there pretty soon. Be ready for it. It's sometimes a shock if you're not ready for it. But as I have gotten out from underneath my parents' domain, so to speak, I have seen and realized the constant pressure the world brings. And almost anything in this world is accessible. I mean, there's things that they say, it's only for 18-year-olds. Or 21-year-olds. But that's not the case anymore. The devil is making things so readily accessible for anybody to get on. I mean, the internet pretty much has no restriction. I mean, there's things, drugs, alcohol, anything that you want in this life. If it's in your heart to do it, you're going to do it. There's nobody going to stop you, I promise you. But on the flip side of that, the things that God has for you, there's a limitless supply. But I was walking to a store the other day, a music store, and Brother Sam, I love music. I'm not very good at it, but I love it. And I was walking to the Guitar Center, and I don't know if anybody's ever been to that store, but there's windows, and in those windows they have posters. And I looked up in the poster, one of them posters, and I saw this rock star. And this rock star, he had his curly long hair. And he had his cigarette, and he was just going to town on his guitar, his electric guitar. And you could see the smoke just rising and the lights were flashing all over that stage. And there was just a crowd of people out there. And if you have any sense of spirituality, you know that that had a demonic energy just flowing through it. And if you were there in that atmosphere, there was a driving force, a satanic force, driving that man. But let me tell you that just like the satanic force, the Bible says that he is the vine and we are the branches, and without him we can do nothing. There is a divine spiritual force that God has, a life and peace of energy. Peter said it was a lively hope. That's not just to be sit around and be bored all the time. There is a lively hope of joy and peace and life everlasting, of eternal treasure. And I'm going that way, and we all need to tap into it if we expect to survive. Hallelujah. Hollywood, as it permeates throughout the world, I mean, you can go to places, the most primitive locations of this world, third world countries, villages, and you see people walk out of there all painted up. Hollywood has inflicted the idea that if you can look right, if you can dress right, if you can have the money, that you can have life, you can have a peaceful life, you can have a happy life, a satisfaction. Obviously, that's not true. How many movie stars have gotten together with somebody and broken up and gone through 10 or 12 different relationships trying to find the peace and the joy and the happiness that comes through serving Jesus Christ? I believe it was a man named Garth Brooks, and I'm sure most of us in here have heard of Garth Brooks, a country music singer. One time was talking to Brother Aaron Brock, holiness preacher, man, in Oklahoma. And he told him, he said, you know, he broke down and cried. He said, you know, out of all the millions of dollars that I have made, I would give it all away for one true relationship with love in it. One relationship with love. I've tried to find it. I can't find it. There's not enough money I can give. There's not enough things I can do to myself to make me happy and satisfied. And let me tell you, you will never be satisfied. There is a silent hunger inside each and every one of us. Ever since man broke that communion with God in the Garden of Eden, there has been a silent hunger that cries out, we want something. I want something inside. And people in the United States, mainly in the United States, have found things to satisfy that hunger. They found movies. They found music. They found all kinds of lustful things that they're trying to put a Band-Aid on that problem, and they're never going to satisfy it until they have that relationship with Jesus Christ on an individual basis. Praise the Lord. I believe that as I remember a man by the name of Miguelito, we call him Hermano Miguelito in Mexico. He was a Catholic, a devout Catholic his whole life. He grew up in the Catholic Church. He lived in the Catholic Church. He taught the people the catechism. And I remember his testimony that one of our pastors, Hermano Jose Sandoval is his name, he came and he held a tent revival or a revival in a pavilion that was right across the street from the Catholic Church. And he took his speaker there. He just had one speaker and a microphone, and he found a little electric wire, and he plugged up, and he went to playing on his guitar, singing songs and preaching, and people were getting saved. And that's pretty much how we start churches in Mexico. You just go to a random village, you start a revival, and out of the people that get saved, out of that revival, a church springs up. You go and put a pastor over that, and that pastor begins to work those people. And that's how churches start. And it's that easy, because the things that we see on every street corner here that satisfy that inner hunger are not always, they're not all over the place like they are here. But anyways, this guy was in that Catholic church, and he lived in that Catholic church, and he began to hear some of this preaching, and he'd go to the doorway of that Catholic church, little tiny Catholic church, and he'd just sit there and lean up against the doorway and listen to Brother Jose preach the gospel. And it was about 4-day revival. Every night he would come back and just stand there the whole service sometimes and just listen to Brother Jose. And he'd come back the next night, and the last night of revival, Brother Jose Sandoval motioned for him to come across and come and get saved. And that boy walked out of the Catholic church, walked across the street, knelt down and gave his heart to God. Now that man's a preacher. He won his whole family to the Lord. And I'm just trying to tell you that he saw something in the Lord. He saw something that was there that he didn't have, and he wanted it, and he got it. And if you want it, you can have it. That man now is a preacher. He's a fireball preacher for the Lord. He's a holiness Pentecostal pastor in Mexico. And I mean, just whatever you want, pretty much you can have it. I'm reminded of another story of a man, a pastor's son, that his wife was having a baby in Mexico, and this was several years ago, and in this particular village there was no running water, there was no electricity, there was no modern places. This woman was having her baby in a little one-room shack, and there was a midwife that come in to deliver that baby, and that midwife came outside to where the husband was waiting on the baby to be born, and she told the husband, which was this certain pastor's son, "You better go in there and see your wife. She ain't going to make it." And he walked in there and he sees his wife given in labor, and she's purple, blue in the face. She can't be delivered to this baby. And this guy was not saved. So he walks outside and he said, "God, I need you to save me and I need you to give me a miracle right now. I need you to help my wife." And when he did that, he heard the baby in there. It was born. Brought the baby out, the midwife brought the baby out and said, "Listen, your wife's going to be just fine." And she said, "But your baby's born dead because of all the problems. Your baby is just limp dead." So he starts crying and he gets this baby in his arms and he looks up to heaven and he said, "Lord, you gave me one miracle. You can give me another one." And when he said that, that baby began to cry. And he wanted that miracle bad enough to give up his sin. He wanted that miracle bad enough to live for Christ and said, "Lord, I've got to have you. And let me tell you, if you want it, you can have it. If you want a healing in your body, if you want your family member to get saved, you can have that, brother, sister. It depends on how bad you want it. Do you want that blessing? Do you want the curses of sin? Or do you want the blessings of the Lord?" I believe that just as the devil is a personal power of evil, he afflicts our minds and torments each individual. And I'm not saying the devil's omnipresent. I don't believe the devil's omnipresent. I believe that the devil and his forces, his minions or whatever, are a constant force against the children of God. But God is a personal power of goodness. When you tap into that source and you have that life-giving peace, that life, the peace that passes all understanding, the joy like a river, the joy like a fountain, it's so much better, the life on this side, living for God, than it is for living for the devil. Sin, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He wanted that 30 pieces of silver. He was always a greedy man. Back whenever they broke that box of ointment and put it on Jesus' feet, he wanted that to sell to the poor, or so they thought. But he was a greedy man. He wanted that money for himself, pretty much. He was a thief. And whenever they offered him 30 pieces of silver to betray and turn Jesus into the Roman soldiers, he took it. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But let me tell you, you can sell Jesus for one click on an internet site. You can sell Jesus for the wrong relationship. You can sell Jesus for the wrong kind of music, hanging out with the wrong kind of crowd. There is nothing, let me tell you, there is nothing in this life worth selling Jesus over. If you need something, anything in this life, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to satisfy you from the things that this world tries to inflict upon you. Hallelujah. Once you've opened yourself up to the pleasures of this world, there is no limit on what you will need to have to be satisfied. Sin has no stop signs. The devil is the chief engineer on the road to backsliding. It's not called back jumping or back skipping or back walking. It's a backsliding. And let me tell you, you'll go from one step to another slowly but surely. You'll never think that you'd have got to a place that you've gotten to. But if you look at it the right way, the devil is going to get you there somehow. Keep yourself from those things. Satisfy yourself with the Word of God. Satisfy yourself with a daily prayer life. Get yourself into a habit of talking to the Lord on a daily basis. Come early to church and pray. Get the mind of God. Let the Spirit work. The Bible says, "Quench not the Spirit." The Spirit is the life-giving source of the church ever since it began. Do not quench the Spirit. It's easily grieved. Oh God, help us to want to do right. The Lord will give you a desire to do right if you let Him. If you want to do right, you will do right. But if you want to do wrong, it's just the same way. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Acts 4, 18. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. You don't have to turn there. 4:18 through 20 says, talking about Peter and John. They've just performed a miracle through the name of Jesus Christ. And they called them and they said, verse 18 of chapter 4 of Acts says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Church persecution in this world is an ever-rising occasion. If you look, statistics say in the 20th century, there was more people killed for Christ than the previous 19 centuries combined. The 20th century, there was more Christians killed for the cause, they were martyred for the cause of Christ than the previous 19 centuries. And let me tell you, if you look around this world, places like Chiapas, there's churches down there. Pentecostal, holiness churches, they're persecuted for what they believe. People storm into their church buildings while they're having service and beat people to pulps. I mean, nearly leave everybody unconscious. Right now in Tampico, Tamaulipas, where my brother lives, there was three or four children hung from a bridge the other day. There was people hung. There was three men and a woman hung from a tree in downtown. And it's just the constant affliction. And it's an outer persecution upon the church. There was a pastor of an Assemblies of God church that lived three or four doors down from my brother. He lives in Mexico. That lived three or four doors down from my brother, who was killed the other day for his preaching. Over in Scotland, I believe, is where it's at. There was a man preaching about somewhere in Europe. I don't remember exactly the country over there, but he was preaching to a group of homosexuals about how if they don't turn from their life of homosexuality, they will suffer the vengeance of an eternal fire. And while he was doing that, he was arrested, taken to jail, and fined over $1,600. And I believe another country over there, there is a monthly paper or letter sent out to each member of the clergy, every pastor. Like Brother Sam Snow, he would receive, if he was a pastor in this country, in Europe, he would receive a letter every month that lists topics of things that he can preach. And on the other side, it lists topics of things that you cannot preach. Don't touch certain issues like abortion, things that go against the political schedule. Do not touch those things, even if it's in the Bible. And I said, God, as long as I live, I will preach your word. I will preach all of your word, and I will preach nothing of your, no, I will preach nothing else but your word. I believe that people need to realize that the outer persecution around the world upon the church is ever prevalent. Now, if you look at the church in the United States of America, I believe it's more of an inner persecution. I mean, we've got the demon of lust just rampant. Homosexuality, pedophilia, whatever you want to call it, the adultery, fornication, from the church leaders to the church members, men and women, it's just rampant. And it's going to take a generation to rise up and say, look, we are going to touch, just like Peter and John in this particular passage. They cannot speak but what they have seen and heard. What have you seen and heard? Are you rooted and grounded like you need to be? It's going to take this generation to grab a hold of the torch, to grab a hold of the mantle and say, look, we are not falling into the same things that people behind us have done. But let me tell you that the men of God behind us have more than enough shown us the right way, have shown us the way of holiness. The Bible says, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It didn't say follow peace and baptism, or follow peace in communion, or follow peace in foot washing. It said follow peace in holiness. I mean, if it said follow peace in communion, we'd see communion every service. If it said we follow peace in baptism, we'd see baptism all over the place. But since holiness is inconvenient for people and the flesh, it's not so much as admonished among us. But let me tell you, if you don't have holiness in your heart, you will not make it to heaven. Live a holy, sanctified life for the Lord. And if you want that holy lifestyle, you can have it. Praise God. Help us, Lord. You know, I believe that we're living in a generation of spoiled brats. I like to say that a lot because I've noticed that if you study rich families, wealthy people, that wealth does not usually last for more than two or three generations. And the reason is because the children do not have the same vision. They don't have the same work ethic as their moms and dads and their grandparents did. It just, there's something that misses. And I believe the generation, I was talking to Brother Sam about my grandparents and my great-grandparents and how much of a godly influence they had on my family. But let me tell you that if I don't get it for myself, if I don't grab a hold of the real thing for myself, I'm just a spoiled brat. I'm letting that all that they worked for just go to waste, and I don't want to do it. I believe it's time for each and every one of us, and if you haven't grown up in a Christian home, now's the time to start your family on the right track so they can look back to you and say, look, he's the one who started us out in this right, holiness, Pentecostal way. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard a story of a bank in Scotland that there's a particular bank account in this bank that has about $400 million. And this bank has this account under a particular name, and nobody has done any transactions in that bank for over 30 years in this particular bank account. And so the bank has tried to contact the particular individual who has his name on the account, And they can't find anybody. The numbers don't work or something. They just can't find anybody to claim this money. And so it's just sitting there in that bank gathering interest. And so, you know, what are you going to do with $400 million? You can't touch it. It's unclaimed. Let me tell you, it's the same way with God. The storehouse of blessings, of unclaimed blessings that are waiting for you and for me to go and grab a hold of. They're sitting there and nobody's claiming them. But let me tell you that if you want them, you can have them. There is no limit on what God has for you in this holiness way. Let me tell you, I'm really looking forward to this altar service. And if you need something from God, I want you to start praying and asking God, Lord, give me strength. Give me the ability to overcome every single day. I don't believe we have to go up and down all the time. In and out, up and down all the time. That's a bunch of baloney. I think that the Lord desires us to be consistent. Consistency is required. The Lord will tell you when you get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you haven't been faithful, how can he tell you that you were faithful? Oh, God, help us. If you want a life of sin, life of sorrow, life of sadness, you can have it. If you want a life of joy, a life of peace, life of happiness, you can have that too. If you want to stay on this side of the Jordan, I believe that I know you can probably interpret it two different ways, but people say sometimes that life is the wilderness, and when you cross the Jordan going into Canaan, that's heaven. But I believe you can also look at it as a life of the flesh and crossing Jordan into Canaan into a life of the spirit. Let me tell you that if you want to stay on this side and live a carnal, fleshly life with the mentality, a mindset of carnality, the Bible says that to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in it is life and peace. In it, it is fullness of joy. And I'm so thankful to know that God has allowed me to go ahead and cross that Jordan River. And let me tell you, if you want to cross that river, go ahead and cross it. Go ahead and live a life in the Spirit. The Spirit versus the flesh is a constant battle. But let me tell you, you can live a consistent life in the Spirit. Praise God. I'm taking a little bit too long here. But I want y'all to begin to think in your mind. Ask the Lord something that you need from him tonight. And let me tell you, you can have it tonight. You can have salvation if you need it. If you need to be purged of a sin or something that you don't think that you can get rid of, you can have deliverance. Oh, God, help us to realize that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These tribes that stayed on this side of the Jordan were the first to be conquered by the Assyrians. And if you live a life of the flesh, you will be the first to go down when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that's a promise. We've got to go through trials. The enemy will come in like a flood. I promise you, you are going to face things in life that you might have thought you never were going to face. You might face family member deaths that you thought shouldn't happen. You might face home breakups. I'm not trying to prophesy anything here. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But I'm just saying, you're going to go through things. The devil will come in like a flood. The Bible says, though, the Spirit of God shall raise up a standard against it. That's an offensive approach to the enemy. And let me tell you that if you're always on the defense, if you're always defending yourself from the devil, the best you can hope for is a tie. The best you can hope for is a tie. Jesus never stayed home and just fought the devil right there. He went out and destroyed the works of the devil. He was a troublemaker in the camp of Satan. And that's what we need to be. We need to go out offensively. Praise the Lord. And if you want to be offensive, you can be. But if you want to live a life of torment, a life of defense all the time, you can stay there if you want to, but we're going on. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if somebody can get me a song. I'm going to try to close. And I want to give this altar call. I want you to be thinking about things in your life that you're going through right now. Maybe trials, maybe a test, maybe a tribulation. Temptations come from the devil. But sometimes the Lord allows trials. Temptation is always from the devil's side. God does not tempt anybody. But sometimes the Lord does allow things for you to go through to be worthy to be a part of the church without spot or wrinkle. Trials is a trial in court refers to reaching a verdict. And every time you go through a trial, you're in a courtroom setting, and the Lord is trying to determine a verdict upon you. Are you worthy to become and be the church that is raptured out of here, that is taken to meet Jesus in the air to live forever and ever? Are you worthy to be part of that church? Do you have a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish that you need to get rid of tonight? Let me tell you, if you want deliverance, you can have it. If you want a marriage restoration, you can have it. If you want a healing, if you want salvation, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it. You can have it tonight. I don't believe there's anything holding you back but you yourself. Oh God, help us to realize that. Deliverance and overcoming are two different things. There's a lot of times when we overcome, there's some times where we're like Lot, and we might find ourselves in a place where we need God to take us out of it. We need God to come in there and grab us by the hand and say, look, come on out. It's all right. You're going to make it. And I believe that if you need anything tonight, you can have it. If you want to stay there and not come, I think that it's an act of your will. And I'm going to go ahead and ask her to start playing whatever she feels like playing. But I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to close your eyes and just think really quick before you come up here. Just think to yourself, Lord, I want you to search my heart and to know every way that about me. And Lord, if there's an area that needs improvement, I know according to your word that I can have that tonight. And if there's something that's hindering my relationship with you, take it away. I want deliverance, and I can have it tonight. Why don't we all find us a place to pray and ask God to strengthen us, to give us that power to overcome? I believe that there's no nothing except your own self hindering.